much built by its owner. And that man pretty much proved what is called the Dunning-Kruger effect, in which a person overestimates his abilities, like a 16-year-old who thinks that because he has a driver's license, he's now an expert in snow river pros. The basement was the sanctuary for this mission congregation, and there were many plumbing problems, such as mixing baseboards and radiator heaters, which is never to be done. Fortunately, there was a master plumber in this congregation, and one time he was looking at the plumbing and muttering, and finally he said to me, "The guy that installed this plumbing must have been a carpenter." Let down your nets for Peter hears, but he really doesn't believe it. It is a word of foolishness to Peter. He might have replied, "If there were fish, I would know where to catch them, and I would know how to catch them. What does a carpenter know about fishing anyway?" Perhaps he had an eye roll as Jesus spoke those words. It was Peter's sin that he didn't think that Jesus knew what he was talking about. It was foolishness to him. "But at your word, I will let down the nets." Then the miracle happened. Peter ended up on his knees with a strange plea, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." The word from God about Christ crucified is a foolish word to the world, and often to us too. God chose what is foolish so that no one can boast of anything. Our nets are truly empty, and yet Christ tells us to fill them. Our words from the pulpit are empty until Christ gives them the power of His Holy Spirit. Nothing happens by our efforts, as much as we like to think. Yet we are like Peter and his crew of fishermen who toil all night and then nothing to show for their efforts. It is only when we have the Lord's word that anything happens for His kingdom. The word from God about Christ crucified is indeed a foolish word to the world. At your word, Lord, we are created. At your word, O Lord, we are redeemed by the blood of your cross. At your word, O Lord, you create your church. It is not our word, but yours. The word of Christ is the church's only power, the church's only weapon. There are no well-equipped armies of soldiers with wonder weapons. There are no clever ad campaigns and gimmicks that work. Just this foolish word about a man on a cross. And it is only when Christ speaks His word nets become full. And it is only when Christ speaks His word that we catch them alive. Literally, that's what Jesus is saying, using a word that means to capture alive, that is, to win them for Christ's kingdom. In today's epistle, Paul writes, "For the word of the cross is folly, foolishness, to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Synonyms for folly include stupidity, madness, irrationality, the opposite of wisdom. And yet Paul says that one cannot be saved through man's wisdom. The world can never truly know God by its own so-called wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. Those Greeks in Corinth sneered at the foolish word of Christ crucified. They could point to the great philosophers of Greece, Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, and many other great debaters of antiquity. And then they is scandalon, which we get our word scandal. Literally, a device for catching something alive, a trap, much like the fishing net. Christ causes offense. And that stumbling block is the cross of Christ. I'm sure you've noted, as I have these days, many Christians are wearing crosses around their necks and cross earrings. Some even have the crucifix tattooed on their skin. I sometimes wonder if this is just a fashion statement. I certainly hope and pray that it is not. Only criminals and slaves were crucified in the Roman world. No Roman citizen was allowed to be crucified because it was so degrading. Roman citizens guilty of capital crime were beheaded, as was Paul. Paul writes that Jesus humbled himself and took on the form of a slave and went to the cross. God's wisdom is that did Jew hang on a cross. Only through him is there salvation. The world shakes its collective head with such foolishness. Who can believe such a thing? But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence. What is the world's wisdom? The world embraces the theology of glory, that is, the lust for the world's approval. Through this seeking for glory and acceptance of others, one will never find God. The word about Christ crucified is an absurdity to our world. It is not a word which tells people to be good so that they can gain eternal life, but a word which condemns sin in all people so that the word of forgiveness might be brought to bear. It is not a bombastic word of great oratory, but that low whisper that you might have heard. God is not in the wind. Not on the earth being more of a fire, but in that feminine silence. A foolish word in the world's opinion, but the view in the ears of the world. Before anything happens, as far as the church is concerned, the word Christ crucified must be proclaimed. In fact, it is the only word which matters. It is the sine qua non, precondition, the requirement, the must-have word. Nothing happens without this word about Christ. This word is the one that establishes the church. It is the confession of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, on which the church is founded. And God reconciles the world by this foolish word about his Son dying on the cross, breathing in. To those who believe in his word, it is the power of God for salvation. As Paul writes in Romans, he calls it God's dynamis, the word from which we derive our word dynamite and dynamo, power, explosive power. Peter's realization that it was a sinful man caused him to ask Jesus to believe him. Here he stood before the holy God, and yet Jesus does not drive Peter or the others away. Consecrates them for service. Do not be afraid is their absolution. It is no different than the absolution given to Isaiah when he confronted God, the holy God in the temple. He confesses that he is lost. But God absolves him and cleanses his lips with a burning coal from the fire from the altar. Isaiah's guilt is taken away and his sin returned. So Christ does not drive you away because you are a sinner, but he cleanses you by means of this foolish but redeeming word, by means of holy baptism, and by Christ's true body and blood and sin. preach Christ crucified and to absolve sinners is how the kingdom grows. It is not by the cleverness of man. It is not done by our giving efforts. It is by the word of Christ, this foolish word of Christ crucified. And at this word of Jesus, the church is built. And this word is spoken for them. Christ's absolution, Peter and the others brought immediate results. They left everything and followed him. Literally, it says that they let go. They let go their former lives for a life devoted to another kind of fishing. And your hearing of the word of Christ also has results as you let go of your life and follow Christ by living out your vocation in this world as one of the ones. And while our vocations differ in many ways, each one of us has the vocation to live in Christ by loving and serving our neighbor. This is the good word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And of all things visible and